Hello, welcome to Church Online. This is so great. We get to bring church right into your living room. But since you're in your living room, I'm just wondering, are you on your couch? Are you drinking coffee? Are you eating a donut? And are you in your pajamas? I really don't want to know. I'm just playing. Thanks for tuning in with us today, coming online. I believe that God will use even an online service to bless you, to minister to you, and so I'm really glad you're here. We have made a little studio in our office so that we can record a lot of content and bring it to you. Over the next week, you're going to see our kids' ministries putting out videos, our youth ministries putting out videos, sisterhood putting out videos, and in the next couple of weeks, we're actually going to have a live prayer night here, and you'll be able to actually send us the ability to send us a note on what you want prayed for. We'll be right here live and pray for your needs. So we're going to use this space a lot to be able to bring content to you. Hopefully in the near future, the virus will have moved on, died out, and we'll be able to meet again together because I love to be together. Before I begin my sermon, though, I really want to just look at you through the camera and say to you that you matter and what's going on in your life matters to me and to our staff. And I want to know how you're doing. I want to know if you're nervous. I want to know if you're worried, if you have prayer requests, because you matter. And so if you would just send us a note via an email or on our website and let us know how you're doing, we want to pray for you. And I want to promise you, if you send a note, we will pray for you. We'll call out your name and we'll see to it that you have been prayed over. And so please let us know what's going on in your life. All right, I want to pray, and then we're going to jump into a message today. Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you that we are bringing messages and worship together in our houses, and we're able to gather there. Lord, we ask that you would use this to just move in our hearts. And so, Lord, I love you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I want to preach from the book of Mark, chapter 4 today. We're going to be at verse 35. We'll have verses for you to be able to read on the screen as well. But if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to go to the book of Mark, chapter 4. And so what's going on is Jesus has just finished a day of ministry. He was ministering from the side of a lake in a boat, preaching to people. And the day was coming to a close, and so he said to his disciples, let's take the boat to the other side of the lake. And so we're going to pick up in Mark chapter 4, 35. It says, later that day, after it grew dark. And I was just thinking that it said after it grew dark, and I feel like in our current, you know, season, it's kind of a dark season. We've got so much of this fear going around related to the virus, and there's a lot going on, so it's just kind of a dark season. I thought that was appropriate kind of for where we are. But later that day, Jesus said, when it became dark, to his disciples, he said, let's cross over to the other side. Now, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. It may seem a little goofy if you're sitting on your couch, which you probably are. But I want you to just say those words with me, the other side. Just go ahead, say it, the other side. I know, it's a little weird, but it's okay. You're at home, no one cares. You can be goofy at home. The other side. Why did Jesus say the other side? He said the other side because he wanted disciples to know that they were going to get across the lake, that they were going to make it from here to there. So he's telling them ahead of time, we're going to make it to the other side. And so I want you to remember that you're going to make it to the other side. So Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. And after they had sent the crowd away, they shoved off the shore with him. And as he had been teaching from the boat, and there were other boats that sailed with them. And suddenly, it says, suddenly, as they were crossing the lake, a ferocious tempest arose with violent winds and waves that were crashing into the boat until it was all but swamped. But Jesus was calmly sleeping in the stern, resting on a cushion. Just think of that. Suddenly, a storm arose. Suddenly. Of course, that's how most troubles come our way, suddenly. That's kind of their tactic, to come at us suddenly. But suddenly, this huge storm arrives. Just think about a small boat being crashed by winds, and the rain is crashing, and waves are going into the boat, and Jesus is asleep, and it says he's resting on a cushion. So in my mind, if Jesus is at the stern of the boat, there's water, he's on a cushion, he's on the first waterbed, sleeping. He's resting, he's loving it down below. He is resting in the middle of a storm. Verse 39 says, they shook him awake. They shook him. I would say that they were shook, so they shook Jesus. Can you imagine? They went and woke up God. They're like, God, help us. They were in a little bit of panic. It says they shook him awake. I used to have this alarm clock at my house. Probably some of you had some of these old school alarm clocks. And in the old school alarm clocks, when you'd set it and it went off, it made the worst noise ever. It was like, you know, like beep, beep, beep. It would cause you to have heart failure almost just waking up to this thing because it was so loud. Some of you have had that. I like my iPhone now because you can set it to one of those really nice, calm, peaceful wake-ups. And it kind of like gently begins to slowly wake you out of your deep sleep. And it's just so nice and quiet and it's gentle until finally I come to, you know, wake up a little bit. And oh, it's so nice. I love the new ways that we get to wake up and feel good to our alarm clocks. They woke Jesus because they were alarmed. They were panicking. They were in fear. And so it says they shook him and they said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're all about to die? We're all about to die." Just think about this. Just moments before, Jesus had said to them, "We're going to make it to the other side." And now they were panicking in the middle of the lake saying, "We're about to die." So the verse goes on to say, fully awake, Jesus was fully awake. I guess after they shouted at him and began to, you know, shake him and wake him up, he is now fully awake. And Jesus rebuked the storm. Now, he rebuked the storm in the same way he had rebuked demonic spirits. And so he used the same word. If you were to dig into the Greek words of that, you would find that Jesus used the same exact word to rebuke the wind as he did to rebuke a demonic spirit. And so he's teaching us that there was a demon behind or a spirit behind the wind that was there. And he rebuked it. And it says that Jesus shouted. He said, "Hush, be calm, calm down." And all at once the wind stopped howling and the water became perfectly calm. Then he turned to his disciples and he had a teaching moment with the disciples. And he turned to them and he said, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid?" And then he went on to say, "Haven't you learned to trust yet? Why are you afraid? Haven't you learned to trust yet?" Can I just take a moment and be just really vulnerable and honest with you, as all of us should be, when it comes to situations like we have going on right now, that it's easy to become fearful and feel fear in our life. I don't know about you, but maybe I'm not as fearful that I'm going to catch this virus, but I'm fearful of the impact that it's having in people's lives that I know and people's lives that I love and the people in our church and what you may be going through. I feel a little bit of anxiousness at times when I think about all of the businesses that are struggling and people that could potentially lose their jobs. And so I just think it's a real place to feel that kind of fear when the storms come upon us like that. And so I was thinking about this thought about being afraid, and fear is this inward emotion that reacts to the things outside of us. Fear is inward emotion reacting to something outside. It would be as if you were outside and you're like outside and suddenly a rain begins and you would react to that rain and you would run inside because it's just a reaction to what's going on the outside. And that's all fear is. It's just reacting to some circumstance outside of us. Well, Jesus said to them, he said, "Haven't you learned to trust yet?" Obviously, they were feeling fear. We all feel fear. But he asked them, "Have you not learned trust yet?" And I think it's interesting to note that we can learn to trust. Trust is a learned behavior. In other words, we can make a decision in the middle of circumstances to trust God. We can learn to do that. And so Jesus said, "Haven't you learned to trust yet?" Trust is a conscious decision we make to trust God. Trust is not an emotion like fear. Fear just, it just rises up, there it is. Trust doesn't do that. Fear will just, boom, it's there. Trust is something we have to decide this is what we're going to do in this situation. I choose to trust right now. Fear comes from outside. Trust comes, though, from the Holy Spirit inside. And so when things are going on outside of us, we can lean to the Holy Spirit inside of us, and we can maintain our trust in Him regardless of what's going on outside of us in the circumstances. It's not wrong to have an emotion of fear. It's wrong if we let fear control us. It's wrong if we let fear begin to control how we sleep or not sleep. It's wrong if we let fear begin to control, you know, our anxieties and begin to control our thoughts and control our outlook. So fear isn't wrong until it begins to control us, and it's really almost impossible to not let fear control us. And that's why Jesus said we can learn to trust Him in the middle of it. Trust is not that emotion. Trust is a decision to just lean into the Holy Spirit and let Him guide us. Fear comes from outside, trust from the Holy Spirit. Fear always leads us to more problems. Following the Spirit always leads us to life. So how do you overcome fear? You do it by trusting in God. Today I want to just kind of park with this thought for just a moment, give you my sermon title. We said it in the beginning, but the other side. The other side is my message title today, so if you're taking notes, you can write down the other side. And I want to give this to you as kind of a prophetic message today in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the winds, in the midst of this virus. This is kind of a prophetic message. I feel like I was praying, the Lord just wanted me to say this to you, that we are going to get to the other side. We are going to get to the other side. You are going to get to the other side. We may go through a storm, but we're destined for the other side. That's what Jesus said to disciples. We're going to the other side. I believe He's saying that to you today. You're going to the other side. It may be dark right now, but soon we'll be at the other side. Some businesses may struggle right now, but soon you'll get to the other side. Our church, we're going through some struggles, but we will get to the other side. That's just God's word to us, and we need to stand on that, knowing we're going to get to the other side. I'm here to declare to you prophetically that you may be in a storm, but you will get to the other side. Would you just let that get in your spirit, though, and not let it just be words from your computer screen? Maybe just for this moment, just to say, Holy Spirit, God, I want to trust you in that we're going to get to the other side, and let that minister to you today. Who would have ever thought, though, that we would be in this situation? I can remember back in January, you know, posting about, you know, the best is here and you know, all those things. And let's hold on to those thoughts. But who would have ever thought that in just a few short months from January, we would have a virus that's shutting down the world? Who would have ever thought? Who would have thought that we would be learning about quarantines and drive-through testing sites and, I mean, just crazy what's going on. Who would have thought that the NCAA basketball tournament would have been canceled this year and the NBA canceled this year and the Masters canceled this year? It's like, oh my gosh, how much pain can we endure? Who would have known that schools would be closing down and businesses would be closing down and stock markets would be crashing and travel would be banned and people would be nervous about just going into the public and, you know, we're afraid to shake hands right now. What a crazy season. This past Sunday, as you know, we missed services because our governor had asked us to not have any services. And so, you know, of course, we obeyed and honored that. Our president asked for us to have a national day of prayer, and I thought it was so great that he did that. I had an opportunity Sunday morning to meet our mayor, and I met him on the steps of the city hall, and we began to talk about the current situation. We ended up going into his office for actually almost a couple of hours to talk and pray, and he wanted to join me in praying for our city. And I just appreciate Mayor Sappho taking time Sunday morning to pray with me. And we talked about all kinds of things. We read scriptures together. It was a powerful time in prayer. And in the midst of him talking about some of the things that were making him nervous for our city, he had said that he was worried for our health care providers. He was worried about hospital supplies and the potential of so many patients showing up that it would overwhelm hospital beds and respiratory ventilators, there wouldn't be enough. And he was carrying the weight of so much of our city on his shoulders. And I was like, suddenly I feel the storm is here. Suddenly I felt it in some ways, maybe how he was feeling it. And it really brought us to a great place of prayer. and we began to pray together, and I believe God heard our prayers. One of the things I love about church and the reason church is so important to us in our life and in our city is that the church always declares hope in the middle of a storm. And that's really why I'm here today, is I want to declare hope into your life, into your situation. I love that the church in the middle of dark times, we're just preaching and prophesying that God can get you through this and see you to the other side. We want to be like Jesus and rebuke the storms of life, and we want to rebuke the viruses that come our way. And that's what the church does. It's important that we have churches in our local communities. And that's why we're here online today, because we want to continue to release God's word into your life and into our city. I love that the church reminds us to trust God when we would rather be fearful. I love that the church declares the word of God over our cities and our nations. And we say that with God, all things are possible. And I do believe that with God, all things are possible. With God, that we can get through the storm. With God, we will get to the other side. And that's my dream. That's my prayer. I believe God will see us through. And I'm here to continue just to help build your trust and your faith in the Lord today as you're going through your storm. Jesus provided for us a model to follow in the storms of life. He was resting in a boat. He was at perfect peace, at perfect rest, right in the middle of a storm. Jesus had such confidence that he would get to the other side, he was able to rest. Honestly, that's a good word for me, because sometimes when I lay down at nights, when I began to feel a little of that fear and those worries and anxieties, and I want to see what Jesus did and learn to model his life in my life, and I hope that for you as well. In this particular story, we see how three of the disciples responded to this storm, and it probably resembles my life and your life more than Jesus' life. And let me just point out a couple ways that these disciples responded to the storm, because we can look at each of the accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke and see how they wrote their particular recording of this event, and it gives us a little view into how they responded to the storm. So let me take you to Matthew real quick. This is Matthew 8:25. It says that the disciples went and woke him up. Same story, same place, but it says shouting. So they woke him up shouting. They were like, Lord, I mean, at the top of their lungs, shouting, save us, we're going to drown. Matthew responded in anger. He was shouting. He was shouting at God. He was like, God, I'm panicking, I'm freaking out, and I'm just angry. Why aren't you doing something? And just that was coming out of him, that anger. He was angry and he shouted. It wasn't humble. It wasn't respectful. He was angry. Sometimes when we think that God isn't handling a situation the way we think he should, we can get angry. Or maybe if we don't go as far as angry, but we just give him the cold shoulder. We just begin to turn away from him. We begin to pull away from reading a word and praying and maybe even going to church because we feel angry, because God isn't doing what we wanted him to do. I want to encourage you today to not let anger show up in your life. Trust Jesus through it all. He wants to help you through it. Matthew was angry. Then Mark wrote this about himself in Mark 4:39. And Mark said it like this, same story. He said, so they shook Jesus awake and they said, teacher. But he wrote this. He said, don't you even care that we're all about to die? Don't you even care? So Matthew was angry. Mark was like, he doesn't care what we're going through. He's asleep. He doesn't care that I'm going through these problems and these pains in my life. Sometimes we all probably feel that way about the Lord sometimes when we're in the middle of our pain. We're like, why isn't he fixing this? Does he not care about me? Because we know he could. Maybe he just doesn't care. Have you ever prayed and you feel like your prayers just hit the ceiling and bounce right back at you and nothing happens? And sometimes when that happens, we may assume that either God doesn't care or he's just not paying attention, or sometimes we feel like maybe we have done something wrong and so God is ignoring us. Maybe we're not spiritual enough. I don't know what you experience in those moments. We see here that Mark felt like God didn't care. Some people have said things like this about God in those moments of pain, and they've said, well, how would a loving God let these kind of bad things happen? I just want to remind you the source of every storm. Jesus rebuked the wind because it came from evil. And so you need to know that God never brings the storms into your life. His role is to draw you close to himself so that you can trust him and help you get to the other side. He wants more than anything for you to come to him. He really cares. I want you to know, he really cares about you. What you're going through right now, he cares deeply. The Bible says that he so loved the world. So loved. Not just sort of loved, like just so loved. Like his whole being and passion so loves you. He cares about your situation. He wants you to draw to him. And so that was Matthew. He felt like Jesus didn't care that they were about to drown. And then Luke, he gives his example of this. And in Luke 8:24, it says the disciples, they went and woke him up and they were shouting. But it says that he repeated himself, "Master, Master, we're going to drown. Master, Master." I read in one of my commentaries that it is implied that he continued to repeat himself over and over as if he were in a panic. Luke represents panic. He was shouting and repeating himself. He was like, "Master, Master, 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 don't you care we're going to drown? Don't you care we're going to drown?" I mean, it's kind of like how some people are today. They're like, you know, "Master, Master, don't you care that we're almost out of toilet paper?" I mean, you know, that's the panic of our culture today. It's just, we just are in a panic. Luke was in a panic. "Master, Master." Worry has never fixed anything. Worry has never helped anyone. What helps us is when we trust Jesus, when we begin to worship him. Worship has brought us to the other side of the lake. Worry never does. So what did Jesus want his disciples to do? Well, it's the same thing he wants you and I to do. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to lean into him and trust him. We overcome fear by trusting him. Not with anger, not with thinking that Jesus doesn't care, and certainly not with panicking. The things that really help us are when we trust Jesus in it. You're in it. You're in the lake. You're in the middle of the lake. There's a storm. We're in that same storm. He's inviting us today to trust him, and he will get us to the other side. And so we see that Jesus modeled for us the way for us to rest in a storm. He also modeled for us, though, how to pray in a storm. He also modeled for us on what to do besides rest. We rest, and then he showed us that we rebuke the storm. That we use our voice, we use our prayer, we use the Spirit, and we pray against those things that come our way. He modeled for us to do what he did, and he rebuked the storm. And I believe he wants for you and I to rebuke the storms of life that come our way. When he rebuked the storm, he was revealing to us that behind the wind was a demonic spirit. And I want to say to you, behind fear is a demonic spirit. Behind anxiety is a spirit that's not God. It's an evil spirit. Behind everything that is of sickness and the coronavirus, this is not of God. It's an evil spirit. And so with the same authority that Jesus had, because we are taught through scriptures that by the name of Jesus, we can pray with his authority and his power. And I think it's important that we as a church and you individually, you rebuke the things that come into your life that are not of God, and you learn to pray against those things. Yes, we can rest, but we also need to pray, and we need to rebuke the enemy and cast out his power and his darkness that comes over your life. Jesus rebuked the storm. He was teaching us to rebuke the storm. I was just thinking that it's time for the church and my place in my life that I need to wake up and learn to rebuke the storms. And so today as we close out this, we'll take a moment and together we'll rebuke this virus. And we believe that as we do that, God will use it to help push back the darkness and we'll overcome the evil that comes our way. And so as I close in prayer, in a moment of prayer for all of us, if you're on your couch, would you take this moment and kind of settle things for just a moment? Maybe you walk to the kitchen to get another cup of coffee, and I want to invite you just to sit and settle for this last moment of prayer, because I want us to all pray together. And so I want you just to kind of posture yourself wherever you are. Maybe you need to lean up to the edge of your couch and hold your hands out. Close your eyes for this moment. Jesus wants us to trust Him. And I want to lead us through prayer that will help you trust Him. The first place I want to go, though, before I take this any further, is invite anyone who has never trusted Jesus to be their Lord and Savior to take this moment and to pray. And let me lead you in a prayer that you can trust Jesus. You can trust Him for your salvation. You can trust Him that when you receive Him into your life, that all your sins will be forgiven. You can trust Him that He'll walk through all these hardships with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And so for this moment, will you let me pray for you? And so just bow your heads where you are. And if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, just right now where you are, would you just make a decision? Say, I want to trust Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to know Him. And then will you just join me in this simple prayer to trust Jesus for your salvation? Just say these words with me. Say, Jesus, I'm making a decision today to trust You for my salvation. I believe You're God's Son who was born and died for my sins. I believe You rose from the grave to demonstrate that You are the true and only Son of God. I'm asking You today to forgive me of all my sins and give me a clean heart. And today I declare that I love You and I trust You. In the name of Jesus, amen. And while we're still praying, would you just stay postured with me? Maybe you know Jesus, but you need some prayer to trust Him. Maybe you feel anxiety just a little bit. Maybe you're like me. When I feel anxious, I tend to lean into some unhealthy habits, such as eating too many cookies. And so I realize I've been in a place of stress myself. And so this is for me. It's for you. Would you just pray this with me? Bow your heads. Dear God, right now, would you just say, I feel, just tell the Lord, I feel somewhat anxious and somewhat overwhelmed. Would you just ask the Lord to build your trust? Will you say, Lord, will You help me trust You right now through it? Will You help my faith to be stronger? Will You give me strength that comes from the Holy Spirit? Just pray that in your own words. And thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time for salvation, we'd love to hear from you. On the website, you can click the button that you gave your life to Christ today. We would love to hear from you. We have a book we want to send you. We have a Bible we want to send you to help you begin your relationship with the Lord. And so if you did that for the first time, please let us know. And now as I get ready to close out this part of my message today, I want us to gather together in our living rooms all over our city, wherever you may be. And I want us together to rebuke the virus. We want to come together and model what Jesus taught us to do. And so I'm asking every person right now, whether you're watching or listening to this sermon, to just begin to posture yourself as Jesus taught us to do. And we want to just begin to pray that God would rebuke the storm. And so right now, all together, we just want to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, would you say that with me? In the name of Jesus, we rebuke the enemy. We rebuke the enemy behind this virus, and we command that in the name of Jesus, this virus must be stopped, and it must die. We pray that today in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Awesome. Do me a favor, how awkward this may be, but go ahead and clap at home. I love a clapping church, and so go ahead and clap at home, and just know that we believe that God is doing great things even through this online experience. I'm so glad you came to be with us today. We will be posting sermons and services every Sunday until we meet again. One final thing as I close today, I hope you've enjoyed this experience. I think it's been pretty interesting to bring it to you. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing the comments and seeing how you have experienced God through this. Last part today, though, as part of our church body. This is just for those who are part of our church. I want to remind you to continue your generosity to our church through tithes and offerings. We ask that you continue to be faithful there. Our expenses, many of our expenses continue along, whether we meet or not. And so our expenses are continuing. And I'm just counting on our church to be faithful to God in your giving. And so I'm just asking you as your pastor, would you just consider making your offering today? Would you go online? There's a couple ways you can give. You can give from our app. You can give from our website. And we'd love for you to participate in giving today. And so I'm going to take a moment. I'm just going to pray, and then I'll let you just make your gift, and then we'll close out this service together. So, Father, I thank you that the tithes and offerings are in your hands. Lord, we trust you just like we trust in every other way. We trust you. And so, Lord, we trust you that you will provide for every person that's out there, that you'll meet their financial needs, God. And I ask that as an abundance of what you're doing in their life, they would continue to sow into their church. And so, Lord, I thank you for every dollar that comes. Help us as a church to steward those dollars, Father. And so, Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.